Alexandria 88.1.
The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KYT.
Get ready, and get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast. Tuning in to this broadcast. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. This is Gregory Tenney, pastor of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church, and we're coming to you by the way of New Life Ministries, which is an attachment, a part of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. Those of you that thought enough to support this ministry, I just want to say thank you. And I want to encourage others, you know, to support the ministry and to help us out. You know, I know we may not be mega, but God is mega. And so we're asking you that you will support this ministry. I'm a firm believer that a closed mouth don't get fed. And so I'm opening my mouth and I'm asking you that you will support this ministry with your finances, that we can continue this broadcast and we continue to reach out to those of you that wants to hear in the word of God. Today, I just want to talk just briefly on the subject of the prodigal son. The prodigal son. And we're going to come to you by the way of Luke 15th chapter 11 through the 32nd verse. And that's for your reading. Luke 15, 11 through 32. My brothers and sisters, before I begin. I want to say hello to my pastor, Pastor Joshua Jardera, and I'm praying that he continue to make an extraordinary and complete recovery, and so forth and so on. He's doing well. He's doing fine, and God is continuing to do tremendous work through him and his ministry. And I thank God for him and his ministry, and I thank God for not just being a pastor, but being a friend. The parable of the prodigal son is one of the parables of Jesus in the Bible in Luke 15, 11 through 32. Jesus here shares the parable with his disciples, the Pharisees and others. In the story, a father has two sons. The younger son asks for inheritance from his father, and the father granted his son's request. My brothers and sisters, this son, however, is prodigal. In other words, he's wasteful and is extravagant. Thus, he's squandering his fortune and eventually becoming destitute as a consequence. He now must after squandering and blowing all of the inheritance that he received from his father, he has to return home empty-handed, and he intended to beg his father to accept him back as a servant. But to the son's surprise, he is not scorned by his father, but he is welcomed back with celebration and a welcoming party. Doesn't this sound familiar? How many times have we left God and he continuously welcomes us back with open arms, and never does he scorn us, but accept us back with open arms. We have fallen short when it comes down to God so long, and it seems like it just doesn't stop. We have strayed away. We have left home. We've come back. We've left home. We've come back. And every time, God is there waiting to receive us. But note that there's always going to be someone that won't welcome you and have nothing to do with your return. So the brother refused, the other brother, the older brother refused to accept his brother's return. And note it was because one of the reasons because he knew that the brother had gotten his inheritance and he went out and blowed it, and his focus was on what was due to him. So the father told the brother, "Hey, you don't have to worry about all of that. You don't have to worry about what I have. Everything that I have is yours." But he told him, he said, but your brother was lost and now he's found. Have you ever been in that situation where you have been lost in life? You have been in a situation where you were just in total darkness and you just could not find your way. And God was always there to receive you. And, you know, thank God that his love for us is unconditional, and he always welcomes us home at all times because he's a loving father, a forgiving father, a caring father, a father that even when you failed, he's always ready, willing, and able to welcome us home. That's enough to shout about. Right there. Brothers and sisters, it's good to know that you always have a place in God's kingdom. You know, so many kids have made mistakes and have left their physical homes and have strayed away and went out and had a good time and just did everything that they could possibly do and then want to return home and was not welcome at home. But here we serve a God that welcomes you no matter what you've done, where you've been, or what people may say. God always has a place prepared for you in his kingdom. And it's good to know that we serve a God that supplies our needs. We serve a God that looks beyond our faults. We serve a God that forgives us in spite of. This son took all of his inheritance, went out, had a party, treated everybody, done everything he possibly could, and then wants to return back home after spending everything that he had, after enjoying and soaking what we call his or our royal oaks. But then, after returning and coming back home, Jesus, God accepted him in spite of. It's good to know that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior, a God that supplies our needs. We serve a God that looks beyond our faults. We serve a God that it doesn't matter how many times we mess up. Good God Almighty, you didn't give me. God will always receive you back into his fold. And look, God always has a place prepared for you. All you got to do is prepare yourself in order to receive what he has for you. And one of the reasons why people in life don't prosper is because they're doing their own thing and don't let God do his thing. But I stop by to tell you that when you stop doing your thing and start letting God do his thing, you'll find out that your blessings is plentiful. Your riches is more than you would have ever imagined. Because we serve a God that has it all. We serve a God that owns it all. We serve a God that created it all. Didn't he breathe air into the nostrils of man, which is you and me, and you became a living soul? Didn't he breathe air into the nostrils of man and called him Adam, placed him in the Garden of Eden? And look, then he looked around and saw Adam didn't need to be by himself. Good God Almighty. And he gave him beauty. He gave him everything. He gave him a woman. You ain't heard me. Somebody that would be there by his side. Somebody that would support him. Somebody that would help him along the way. And even in the midst of him getting that, they made a mistake there. Just too, as we make mistakes, Adam and Eve both made mistakes. She led him. He took the bait. And both of them fell. Good God Almighty, you didn't hear me. But just as they fell, God picked them both up. God wants to pick you up. God wants to take those haters that's in your life. How many of y'all know you got haters out there? You got haters out there. They'll talk about you. They'll put all kind of stuff out there about you. As a matter of fact, they'll even put flyers in the mailbox illegally. Good God Almighty, you didn't hear me. Folk would do anything they can to bring you down if you let them. You know, I want to say something, but I just can't. But you know, we find ourselves. Have you ever worked in a field? And you know, you worked in a field. You know, back in the day, they worked in the field. You know, back in those days, there was slavery. They had slaves and so forth and so on. And, you know, as they had slaves, you know, you had two types of slaves. You had a slave that worked in the house, and you had a slave that worked in the field. Now, don't you know that the slave that worked in the field gonna get jealous because of the slave that worked in the house? But the bottom line is, both of you work for the same master. Stop hating on one another. Stop cutting folk down. Stop mistreating one another. Life is too big for you to be too small. I'm going to say that again. That's powerful there. Life is too big for you to be so small. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, God loves us all. God will protect you. God will take care of you. And I told somebody the other day, look here, let me tell you something about Greg Tenney. I tell it like it is. I'm real with it. I don't cut no corners. I'm just me. And I told somebody the other day, I said, look, ain't no weapon formed against me gonna prosper. Because let me tell you, when you got God on your side, you don't worry about nothing else. Because God, just as he did with the prodigal son, he brought him home. He accepted him back. And I don't care if I fall over and over and over, if I go to God, he'll bring me back in. And guess what? Just like you got a room down the hall, he'll give me one right across. Oh, you ain't heard me. Look, I want to thank you for tuning into this broadcast. For truly, we are a church that equipped the saints, evangelized the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church, ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, support this ministry. You can make all checks payable to Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. And mail it to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. I want to say that again. Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church. You can mail it to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana. And I promise you, all of your donations will be used wisely and it will be used for the glory of God. May God bless you and may he keep you is our prayer.
I will do anything, whatever it takes.
You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love, gifts, and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KYT.
Thank you for joining us on the radio. My name is Pastor Grady Blackwell, First St. Mark Baptist Church. We're a church that's seeking the lost and lifting the found. So I just want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Tell everybody that Grady Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Grady Blackwell. I'm up at the radio station right now, KYT 88.1, our favorite radio station. And look, I'm so glad to be here. I want you to take time out right now, call somebody, and tell them that First St. Mark Baptist Church and their pastor, Grady Blackwell, is on the air. I do want to say something, and I want to say it right now. It's coming pretty close to election time, and I want everybody that can hear my voice, I want everybody to make sure that they get registered to vote and vote. That's the only way that we can change something is vote. Vote your conscience, but do vote. And if you're not registered to vote, I want you to call me. I'll help you out by taking you to the place and get you all registered to vote. Now, this radio ministry is aimed at some of our sick and shirt in of First St. Mark Baptist Church. And I hope they have their radio on. If you know them, you call them and tell them to cut their radio on this station and tell them that their church, First St. Mark Baptist Church, and their pastor, Pastor Grady Blackwell Sr., is on the air. One thing I just want to say, we have church even now, and we don't expect no more than 15 or 20 people, might be less, but we are having church. We want you to come visit with us. Be sure to bring your mask. We do take your temperature at the door, and we do try to seat you in spaces where you'll be within according to the distance that the state requires, the 10 feet distance. So, but we are having church every Sunday, and we invite you to come and be with us. We love visitors. Our church service is every Sunday, starts at 11 a.m. But we have Sunday school that starts before that at 10 a.m. in the morning. At 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, regular worship service is at 11 o'clock, and we are out of there by 12 or 12:30. So come on out and visit with us. We have weekly service, like midweek service, is at 6:30 every Wednesday. It lasts 1 hour. We're out of there at 7:30. We do have a snack on the midweek service. We have hot dogs or potato chips. We have something on Wednesday. On Monday, it's set aside where we celebrate recovery. We celebrate being free from alcohol or drug every Monday at 6 o'clock. And that's something that you can think about. If you know somebody who having a problem with drug, if you know somebody who want to join in and celebrate their recovery, I don't care if it's one day or 1 year, come on out on Monday at 6 o'clock. And it lasts from 6 to 7. So we're doing a lot of things. Every Thursday morning, we are there for a community free prayer breakfast. Community free breakfast. We call it community free prayer breakfast because we do say a prayer more or less blessing the food. And anyone there that wants special prayers, all they have to do is talk with one of our ministers there or deacons, and they will take them to the side and pray for them. But you ought to come out and just see what we're doing and enjoy a good meal. There's grits, eggs, bacon, and sausage, and something to drink, coffee, and some kind of juice. It's something that we've been doing for 8 years, and it seems to me it's getting better and better. So again, we practice the safety standards that this coronavirus has set up for us. We have chairs where they can set the proper distance away from each other. Hand washing is done frequently. We have disinfect and everything before you eat your breakfast. Come on out. We thank you for turning your radio on, and we just thank you that we are praying for all the sick and shut in, especially the members of First St. Mark Baptist Church. One thing I want to do, I was looking at something in the Bible in Matthew's the 7th chapter, verses 22 and 23. That's what it is. Matthew's the 7th chapter, verses 22 and 23. I can say this, and I don't mind saying it. All of us gonna die one day. All of us gonna be called home by the Lord. I know what the Bible say, that God is coming back at His church, and He's looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. I also know that God is coming back for us, and some of us are pretty sure that we're going to heaven. And some of us say that you can hear him say, Lord, when I get there, I know everything will be all right. Well, I don't know whether we all get there or not. That's up in God's hand that make that decision on whether we get to heaven or not. But I tell you what, there's some kind of examination before you get there. If you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to have to take some kind of bar exam or some kind of test before you really become a lawyer. And before you become a Christian, even after you become a Christian, you're going to have to go through some tests to make sure that you're on the right track, make sure that you are doing or have done what you're supposed to have done. And that's what it's about when we look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 22 and 23. Sometimes we say like this, who can tell the disappointment of those who go to a judgment expecting a welcome among the blessed, but who receives the sentence from the jury. I never knew you, depart from me. And that would be something devastating. We expecting to get a big welcome, and we expecting to say, welcome home, my servant. And the person say, look, depart from me. I never knew you, depart from me. That would be a slap in the face the way I look at it. And I don't want that to happen to me. And that's why I try to get as near as I possibly can to the Lord. I try to make sure that I have accepted Christ and surrendered my life, surrendered myself to Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason I picked this chapter, and I ain't going to have time to finish, but I'm just going to go until my time run out. But I was just taking a look. The reason for the examination, it's often difficult to distinguish between a movement of the animal feeling and a true religion affection and impulses. Emotion comes and goes like a wave of the sea. And what we're talking about when we call emotion come to go, emotion is a feeling that you get angry with a person, you get mad on emotion. Another emotion, you get happy. Some emotion, you feel good. And other times, you feel bad. And that's why we can't get overexcited when we are feeling good. And I feel like I could do this, and I feel like I could do that. I hope you don't base everything on your feeling, because you can go to bed feeling good and wake up the next morning and not feel so good. So we're not gonna base our thing that we judgment on our feeling because of what I just said, feeling good one moment and feeling bad the next moment. It is often, we are in danger of being satisfied with the existing standard of religion in the community where we live. The standard is, in most places, very low. A deceived soul is a constant dead weight in a church. God will be thorough with us at the judgment. And here's what I'm saying. Some of us are satisfied with what we're doing in the church. Sometimes it may be low. Sometimes you feel like coming to church. Sometimes you don't. And sometimes you base it on feeling. I don't feel like going today. Next Sunday you may say, look like it's going to rain. I ain't going to go. I'm tired. I ain't going to go. And pretty soon you've got to the point where it doesn't matter. You can always come up with an excuse. But we trying to tell you that God is expecting more than that for us. Judgment day going to come when we have to stand before the righteous judge. I ain't talking about some of these judges out here in these city and these federal and parish courthouses. I'm talking about the righteous judge that are in heaven. And I'm talking about judge, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's some of the questions of the examination that you might be asked. And it would be this, to try to get you ready for that final examination by the righteous jury. Have you made a full surrender to God and accepted Christ as Savior and Lord? And somebody might say, yeah, I did. And somebody may say, well, no, what are you talking about? I simply mean that, have you really thought about it? Have you really said, Lord, here I am. I give up on trying to run my own life. I just want to surrender my life over to you. I want you to tell me who to date, who to marry, what to buy, what not to buy, what to do, what not to do. I'm surrendering my life over to you, Lord. Have you made a full surrender to God and accepted Christ as a Savior and Lord? And I hope that you can answer yes to that. If you haven't, you need to find a church, or you need to get on your knees or find another Christian brother, a Christian friend, your pastor, or somebody, and tell them that you want to surrender your life to Christ. And I'm pretty sure your pastor will take it from there and get you into the right direction. Have you experienced the forgiveness of sin? I'm told, my Bible tells me that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we all have sinned, then we need to experience the forgiveness of sin. Every day, every night, every time you pray, it ought to be something in there you ask God to forgive you for your sin. Even for those who say, well, I don't sin, or I don't think I sin. Well, you may have said something that you shouldn't have said. You may have done something that you shouldn't have done. You may have thought about something that you shouldn't have thought about. Still, you sinned and came short. So what we're trying to say and what I'm trying to tell you, you ought to always pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? And a lot of people flunk out on that because they don't know their neighbor. And every once in a while, if they have to say something to their neighbor, man, you keep your stuff off of my property. I don't deal with you like that. You don't love your neighbor like yourself. It's just so much. I got about 10 more that I'm not going to cover. I might cover them next week. But I just want you to know that there's going to be examination. And one of the things that I don't want to hear that... Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. I just want somebody to say, come on, welcome. You've been faithful over little things. Now I want to make you faithful over big things. I want to say to you, thank you for keeping your radio on. Thank you for listening to our ministry. God bless you. God keep you. And remember, this coronavirus is not bigger than God. If the Lord can handle a cross at Calvary, he can handle that coronavirus. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to us on KYT FM. Look, we appreciate you listening to us. We want you to tell everybody. If you want to correspond with us, it's First St. Mark Baptist Church, Alexander, Louisiana, 60.